finishing university in the UK, I'd been fortunate enough to spend my time moving country every couple of years, eventually winding up doing consultancies for Western embassies and aid agencies in the developing world, a vocation that had taken me from Namibia to Nepal and from India to Indonesia. But while I still had no intention of returning home just yet, the days of riding around on the roof of a bus or going out camping under the stars in the desert seemed rather far behind me. My adventures were becoming increasingly posh, pre-planned, and air-conditioned, even if the locales remained quite exotic. I couldn't remember the last time I'd set off with a backpack or without a hotel reservation, let alone travelled with a fellow passenger's chicken in my lap. So perhaps this was all just a rather desperate attempt to prove something, cooked up by my insecure and rapidly approaching 40 subconscious. I should confess that there was one final motivation, somewhat of an elephant in the room. In a tradition that one may no doubt find paralleled in the origins of some of mankind's greatest undertakings, I was trying to impress a woman. I planned to take off on this adventure with my new girlfriend, Rebecca. Maybe I was only even seriously considering it because of her, as a way of holding the attention and admiration of a woman who, even when in my arms, always seemed to remain somehow outside of my grasp. She was, in fact, Lady Rebecca, progeny of a European aristocratic dynasty that had been ruling over peasantry like myself for several generations. Utterly fearless, precociously intelligent, somewhat emotionally unavailable, and unfeasibly tall and blonde, she had remained an enigma to me ever since we had met at an embassy reception in Rangoon 6 months earlier. She was some 12 years younger than me, and so one might imagine she'd be the one trying to retain my attention, rather than vice versa. But Lady R was a rather special case, which I guess is what had attracted me to her in the first place. There was that formidable brain to start with, displaying a degree of sharpness, insight, and reasoning ability that had led her to be an international chess champion before she was 10, and the holder of master's degrees from 3 different top international universities by her early 20s. It made conversation with her in turn stimulating, as she immediately understood your point and could further develop it, and intimidating, as she sliced through your arguments with effortless panache to expose your shoddy thinking, all the while with a bemused expression on her face that seemed to ask how you could possibly be quite so dim-witted. She was also insatiably curious, but always, it seemed, about things and people other than me. Then there was the aristocracy issue. Being a member of a noble family and enjoying her own title, there was never a question of social insecurity or trying to prove oneself. Close friends included dukes and countesses from around Europe, and she had told me more than once that she was expected to marry into another such lineage. She would often describe an acquaintance in terms of whether they were from a good family or not, an expression I thought the rest of us had stopped using back in the 1850s. I was certainly up for a title myself, though, and so became somewhat disheartened when she informed me that, should we marry, the rules stated I would not get one. However, any subsequent offspring would. That, I felt, could cause terrible resentment on the part of their father and lead to a whole host of domestic difficulties. But then again, marriage and babies did not really seem to feature in her future plans, which instead included competing in a round-the-world yacht race, undertaking a PhD, doing a 3-month-long meditation retreat, and moving with a group of friends to a hippie colony in Southern California. I, sadly, didn't seem to feature in any of them. On the upside, then, I was never bored, nor was I likely to take her for granted, but on the downside, I was left with a nagging doubt that I just wasn't quite good enough, that I was merely a placeholder until someone better came along. Which was, I suppose, one of the reasons I'd pushed for us to move in together just a few months after we met, keen for a bit more security. As that still didn't seem to do the trick, well, what better way to finally convince her of my charms than a 2-month odyssey across